Morning, everybody. It's You Get the Blessing. I'm Bo Mitchell. This is Bob Belts. How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing great this morning. How are you, Bo?
Never better. Appreciate everybody tuning in and listening. This is the Beatles singing Here Comes the Sun.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun. I say it's all right.
I think this is written by George Harrison.
I think you're right. I think he's singing it.
You're right. And I think that somehow, remarkably, every week we tie this music into our program. And today is no exception. Once in a while, we don't have a guest on You Get the Blessing. We do what's called Tips from the Team. And Bob and I just pick a topic and discuss it. And I wanted Bob today to talk about the big story, the overview of the Bible, and how the Bible really is all about here comes the sun, S-O-N, not S-U-N. I don't think that's what George Harrison had in mind, was it?
It wasn't, but I think that's what we think about every time we hear it.
Amen. So I used to say to men you and I'd be working with, it's a lot easier just to read the sports page or the business section. Now it's easier to just turn on your computer and browse through the internet and get your information. And the Bible, to open it and actually read it and try to learn it and apply it and grow from it and view it as an important manuscript that should be where we go for our life-changing information, too complex for a lot of people. So maybe today we can pull up and take a 30,000-foot view of the Bible and the big story of the Bible. So how would you just lay that out for us, Bob?
Well, one of the things I think I wanted to just say, too, is over the last two Sunday nights, and I think tonight is the third Sunday night, we've been watching the Bible series that Mark Burnett and Roma Downey did, and it was great having them on our show earlier.
Say Bob Belts here partnered with them in the sense of being a technical advisor, a consultant on the whole project, and I was proud as your friend that connection was made and that you were able to contribute in so many important ways to that whole project.
It was a lot of fun, and I just felt like it was a tremendous privilege and to think about millions of people watching that right now is pretty exciting. But it's what they've done is exactly what I had been doing for some period of time, which was recognizing the fact, as you're saying, that really we do live in a culture that's been called biblically illiterate. And I think part of the problem, frankly, is that if you pick up a Bible and look at it, and if you happen to get a big, thick one, and then you start looking through there and you see all of these different, portions of it with all these different names, there's 66 documents is what the Bible is, a compilation of 66 separate documents written by over 40 different authors over a period of 1600 years. And so, for a lot of people, it is so complex and confusing. And if you're, if you try and read it for the first time and you happen to flip open to something like the book of Leviticus, your first question would probably be, why in the world does anybody, read any of this? So part of what I really set out to do a couple of years ago, and again, it's been really cool how that dovetailed into the Bible series, is recognizing that there's a story that begins in Genesis and runs all the way through the life of Christ and all the way through the book of Revelation. And the Bible, when you go and buy a Bible, it's not set up that way. It's divided in half, where you've got half that we call the Old Testament, the Jews would call, Torah or Tanakh, and then you've got the New Testament. But even in the Old and New Testament, it isn't set up in a kind of a chronological way that tells the story. And when I first started working on this, trying to figure out how could I help people know the story, because if you don't know the story, the individual parts of it don't really make sense. And so I began looking at what would you have to know to actually tell the whole story from Genesis to Revelation and realized you could tell the entire story using only 15 what we call books out of the 66 books of the Bible. So that makes it a lot easier to, you know, master if you can kind of know the story, because everything else in the Bible fits kind of like chronologically under one of those 15 books. So big story.
So 66 documents, how many authors?
40 at least.
And over how many years?
1,600 years.
Okay, so I know today what we want to end up with for our listeners is to say, if this is all just foreign to you, start by reading this book and focusing on these chapters. But as we step back from that, how many of those books would you say kind of hold the whole thing together if you were just going to try to get the big story in a condensed Cliff Notes version?
Well, out of the 66, again, you can pretty much tell the entire story using 15 books, and 11 of those, the Old Testament has 39 documents in it, and the New Testament 27. So you put those together, and I always, you know, we jokingly always used to call it Route 66. It's God's Route 66. So if you can remember Route 66, you can remember how many books are in there. And then the Old Testament has 39 books, but you can tell the story, you know, what you would call the narrative. And again, what part of what I was doing was trying to say, what if this was a screenplay? You've got this great story. And by the way, how miraculous is it that you have 40 different authors over that length of time, and yet you have one consistent story that just reads like someone sat down and you know, wrote it, you know, trying to produce this unified story. There's a miraculous nature even to that. But you can use, in the Old Testament, there are what are called the historical books, which are the narrative. It tells the story of the Jewish people. And if you read the 11 historical books, you get that whole, you can understand the whole story of the Old Testament. It's like a three-act screenplay, by the way. And the big message is the story of God. And I like Mark and Roma, when they were working on the Bible series originally, they wanted to call it the story of God and all of us. And so the books that kind of go with the Bible series that you can buy, several of them have that kind of that name to it. But that's what it is. The big story is the story of God. At Highline, where I've been teaching through this now for 2.5 years, I think, we call it God the Movie, you know, and then subtitle it The Bible is Screenplay. But the story is like a classic three-act story. So Act 1 is the story of the Jews. And again, 11 books you can read out of the 39, and you have the entire story. Everything else kind of fits somewhere underneath that storyline. The New Testament is incredibly easy because you only have to read three. You can read three books and have the story of the New Testament. Now, there are four what we call the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Three of them basically are telling the story pretty much the same way. They were written relatively close to each other, and they were, you know, written down after the story of Jesus had been told orally. But you can pick one of those. And I would tell our listeners, if you don't know anything about the Bible, you should start by reading the story of Jesus. And you will find that either in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. And my recommendation, the first thing I ever read in the Bible was the Gospel of John. And it's great. And if you take like Luke and John and kind of weave them together, which you don't have to do that when you're first reading it, but you get everything you need to know about Jesus out of two. You know, you only need two of the Gospels to tell the entire story. And then after those four Gospels is a book called Acts, and it's a record of the history of the church from the time of the resurrection till, you know, about midway through the first century. And so the entire second act, which I would call the story of Jesus, two books, and the third act, which is the kind of the climax of the story, begins with one book, Acts, and ends with one book, Revelation. So again, somebody starting out, that doesn't have all of this put together. And by the way, the whole story is about Jesus. And the story of the Jews is all the promise and what was going on in their history, looking forward to the coming of Messiah. The story of Jesus is his time that he in human flesh walked the planet and fulfilled many of those prophecies. But that was all leading up to what's yet to come in terms of the story of the future. And we're kind of in the middle of that part of it.
So as you're discussing this, I was sitting there thinking, isn't there a scripture that says, at some point a veil is almost lifted from your eyes and there comes an openness and an understanding of the Bible that wasn't there before? Because I was thinking, for our listeners, as you're talking about the book of John, someone may be asking the question, okay, that's interesting what you're saying, but what can I do that would help me feel like for the first time ever, I'm interested in this book, the Bible, and I'm understanding what I'm reading? What can I do? What's the first step to the Bible, this big story, even making sense to you?
Well, let's go back to John again. So this is one of four of the books. If you go to the New Testament, look in your Bible, if you get a Bible, and again, it's divided old and new. So if you go to the New Testament part, the first four books are called the Gospels, which are the story of Jesus. So you'll find John is the fourth there. So it's easy to find. So again, if you're kind of flipping around thinking, where in the heck do I even find this thing called John? It's there. And,
so don't be intimidated by it. Say, we're cutting this back here. We're getting the Cliff Notes version, but it's the full story I'm getting here.
Yes. And by the way, when you go there, you'll see numbers. So it'll be numbered as if there are chapters in a book. And then inside the chapters, it'll be numbered. Every verse will have a little number. And those can be helpful in terms of finding certain things in the Bible, but you might want to know that they weren't there when it was written. It was written as one kind of complete story. But what you'll find in John is that you'll find in every one of those chapters, you'll find a story. And you won't have to figure things out. You'll simply be reading about something that happened in the life of Jesus. Chapter 1 is a little tougher because it has some philosophical terms, but once you get into the rest of it, you're going to read these very interesting stories about the life of Jesus and the things that he did, the things that he said. And as you read them, they begin to kind of come together in a bigger picture of who Jesus was. So I think that's a great starting point.
Start there, and even if you are just exploring and don't consider yourself in relationship with Christ or spiritually oriented, you're just kind of thinking, well, maybe this is something I should try, that's still the place to start.
It was, and what can happen and what hopefully will happen as if you read the Bible, I started out and it was pretty foreign turf to me because I hadn't, grown up in an environment where church was part of what we did as a family. So it was pretty new. And I began reading. And when I got to the third chapter, which tells the story, this great story of a religious leader of the day that comes to Jesus at nighttime to ask him questions about life and heaven and the kingdom of God, as I was reading that, something happened. And for me, it was this spiritual experience that you were talking about earlier, where it was like a light switch got flipped on for me. And I suddenly realized that what I was reading was actually true, really happened. Jesus was who he said he was, and that he was inviting me into a relationship with him where if I, exactly like he was doing with Nicodemus there in that third chapter, and if I would open, my life to him, he would come in. And I prayed that night. That was sort of the beginning of my journey and asked Christ in. And I've got to say that suddenly the Bible did come alive in a new way because there is a spiritual dimension to it. You can read it, you can understand it, you can approach it from a very academic level, but there is a spiritual dynamic that when you, again, come into relationship with Christ, it comes alive in a whole new way.
Okay, so I want to backtrack just a little bit here. Have you seen that card? It's got three old guys on it, and they're walking on the beach. And the guy, and then it has the little captions of what they're saying. And the guy on the left says, "It's windy today." And the guy in the middle says, "No, it's not. It's Thursday." And the guy on the right says, "I'm thirsty too." And you're looking at that thinking, man, that is what happens. So even the account of a Nuggets basketball game against the Houston Rockets, as it reads in the Denver newspaper compared to the Houston account from their home team, could be off or somewhat different. So I'd like you to talk a little bit about how the integrity of these stories have been maintained over time with all the different translations and paraphrase publications that have been made of the Bible. And then which, if someone's really shopping for, before I even get to the big story, which one of these do I pick and how do I know I'm in the right spot here?
Well, those are all great questions. And I you know, without going into too much detail, let me just say that, what we do know in terms of going back and what you would call textual critics that try to address a lot of these issues and answers, what we do know is that we probably can have a 99.99% assurance that what we read today, and again, as Americans, we're going to be reading it in English, which is a translation out of either Hebrew for the Old Testament or Greek in the New. But what we can have assurance of is that the documents that we are reading are the same documents that were being read in the first century. One of the fabulous stories of our time, by the way, is because of the way manuscripts were reproduced by the Jews, they were so confident, and it was this lengthy process where they would, you know, translate, you know, onto a page, they'd go back, they would count all the words, they'd go to the middle word, make sure the middle word was the same as the middle word and what they'd copied, they would count the letters and the consonants and match them up, and the process, which was done by scribes, was so serious and considered so holy that when they finished making a copy, they were so convinced that it was accurate, and in order for things not to get distorted by a manuscript getting worn and old and letters going away, they actually destroyed the old manuscript. So up until 1948, the earliest actual Old Testament manuscript in Hebrew that we had was dated about 1000 AD. And of course, again, ask the question, well, how do we know over time it hasn't changed? And how do we know this is really what it used to say? And then in 1948, we discovered the Dead Sea Scrolls. And the Dead Sea Scrolls date to the first century. So suddenly you had a first century documents and documents from the 10th century that you could compare and see how different they were. And basically what the scholars discovered is, other than changes in the way that a word would have been said, or, you know, pronunciation or a couple of letters, that the 1000 AD document was identical in content to the Dead Sea Scrolls, so that this is the kind of accuracy we have. New Testament, thousands of early manuscripts. We don't have the originals, but we have thousands of manuscripts that they were able to compare against each other. Now, for instance, when the King James Version was written, they didn't have all of this evidence. You know, they were working from a limited number of texts. But, you know, as archaeologists began to discover these ancient finds and ancient documents, suddenly you had the ability to compare. And as they've been able to compare, you know, old manuscripts against one another, again, you know, biblical scholars would come, you know, to great agreement that with, you know, maybe, again, 1% difference from whatever the originals were, that the documents that our modern translations are, you know, are translated out of were the same as those in the first century. So that's the kind of proof there is, you know. And so when somebody would make a statement like, hey, the Bible's been changed through the years and it's gone through all these translations and we don't really know what it says, that person does not understand the process that went into making sure that there was integrity as copies were made.
And besides the human elements through all those centuries, there's a sense that the Spirit of God also has protected his message over time.
Yes, and I would say again, you know, if it, when you begin to have a spiritual life, you know, that sense of assurance, which isn't completely rational, it's, you know, it's super rational, but again, that the Spirit who was involved in the process, and that's what we believe that even though human instruments wrote all of these documents, and we don't believe they were dictated by God, but we believe that men were inspired by the Spirit in such a way that what they wrote was actually a communication from God to men. And so there was a spiritual dimension in actually the, you know, the origins of the books of the Bible. And there is a spiritual dimension, again, that that when we're in relationship with Christ, there is an assurance that what I'm reading and interacting with and that comes alive to me is really a communication from God.
So I'm Bo Mitchell. That's Bob Belts' voice you're hearing there. And Bob is the foremost authority, teacher, scholar on the Bible that I've ever encountered in my life, has written 14 books himself, is a pastor of Highline Community Church here in Denver, is a consultant to Mark Burnett and Roma Downey on the Bible series, which is presently airing on the History Channel. So we hope you'll find that and watch it.
Yeah, and you know, if you don't have cable and you haven't been able to watch it, tonight's episode is the transition where the first hour will be how the Old Testament comes to an end and the transition where at the end of the Old Testament, you'll hear Daniel the prophet talking about a vision he has of one coming like a son of man, and the story will actually transition to where you'll begin to see Jesus. And so you'll get the first episode of the New Testament too. And all I would say is that if you don't have cable and you'd really like to see this, we're showing it at Highline. So if you would like to come out and join us tonight, you know, at 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, we're actually showing that series at the church.
And I'll actually be there autographing copies of my new country western song, Get Out of the Cornfield, Grandma, You're Going Against the Grain. But Bob will be there, and you should do that. So again, our program, we try to inform, educate, because we've got the professor here and Bob Belts. But we also like to say, what's that got to do with me and how can I get started on this? So back to the second part of my question, Bob, you know, I like reading the Living Bible, which is a paraphrase. It's not accurate in many parts, but it's close and it reads in a language I can understand. But what would you just say to somebody that's got four Bibles on their shelves? They're all gathering dust, and today's program has challenged them to open that Bible up and read a chapter a day. What translation? And we've heard the Book of John is where to start, maybe even a chapter each day of the month in the Book of Proverbs. But what translation? Where should I start?
You know, again, and if you aren't very familiar with the Bible, but you have one sitting there and you open it up and it happens to be a King James version with these and thous, understand that that's the way people actually talked when the King James version was written. So get a modern version. You can go to any bookstore. And I might even recommend doing something like getting the Message, which is, again, a very easy, readable starter Bible. It's a lot like what you know, when you used to, you know, read the Living Bible,
this
is sort of a update on that, but it reads just like you're reading a newspaper instead of, you know, if you feel like some of the modern translations are even a little too, you know, rigid.
You know, I can tell you folks, I was playing minor league baseball in the Cardinals organization and had a lot of time on my hands. And that's the first time I read the Bible cover to cover and underlined it and notes in the margins, and it's still Bob. This makes Bob crazy, but I'll still think, wait a minute. I remember reading this passage, and Bob's like, maybe sort of, but and so I, for example, I've landed hard on this Ecclesiastes 11:4 for the last couple of weeks that says, in the accurate translations, it says, "He who watches the clouds will not sow." I'm sorry. "He who watches the wind, who observes the wind, will not sow, and he who watches the clouds will not reap." The Living Bible says, "If you're waiting for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done." So, if you're a person, whichever one of those you like, if you're watching, if you're observing the wind and watching the clouds and thinking someday I'll get around to the Bible, the conditions are never going to be perfect. And I hope you've been inspired today by what Bob has shared as to the origins of the Bible and the protection of the words and the stories over all these centuries and how incredible it can be in terms of life-changing information. So we hope we've not just educated you, but inspired you to crack a Bible and get after it and get started. You're going to find an amazing journey ahead of you.
And make sure, again, I would just say on the next, you know, three Sunday nights to watch the Bible, because this will all be about Jesus, and it's really, really good, and it should. The hope when Mark and Roma made the series that by watching the series, you'd get excited about reading the Bible, exactly what we're talking about today.
Well said. Thanks for listening to You Get the Blessing Today. Bob Belts and Bo Mitchell signing off. We'll see you again here next week. Blessings.
Here comes the sun, and I say, it's all right.